Last week, we began a new 12-part sermon series on Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. At that time, I shared with everyone that Ephesians is a treasure trove of God's grace. Grace is a major theme in this letter of Paul, being mentioned some 11 times. God's grace is, of course, indispensable for the Christian life. It is by God's grace that we experience salvation. It is by God's grace that we are equipped for every good work. And I would like you to read through Ephesians once a week. Start with one chapter a day, use different versions and translation, and discover the nuances and uniqueness of this beautifully written letter of Paul. If you come across any verse that you wish me to elaborate on or to clarify some important truth, please PM me and I will include them in my subsequent sermon. But really, I want to encourage you to spend time studying this letter of Paul. And you will never be the same again after reading Ephesians at least a dozen times. This is because the Word of God has the power to change you. As you receive this revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself to Paul, your life will be transformed in a most supernatural way. The question is this, wouldn't it be sad and ironic that you would live like a pauper when you are a millionaire? Wouldn't it be a travesty of justice that you live below the poverty line of God's grace when you already have all things in Christ? And wouldn't it be odd that you are missing out from what God has already provided for you through the finished work of the cross? A story was told of how a young man in the old days who had to travel from Belfast in the United Kingdom to New York in the United States by ship. His mom packed him some dry biscuits and hard bread in a brown paper bag for the long journey ahead. And day after day, the young man would eat portions from the bag and save some for the next day. He would watch all the rich people going into the dining room and enjoying the buffet of delicious food and desserts. And then he will wish to himself, if only I have the money to pay for my meals. Towards the end of his journey, when the ship was coming close to New York, the captain saw the young man eating the last morsel from his brown paper bag, approach him, asking, I noticed that you have been eating from your brown paper bag throughout the trip. Is there anything wrong with the food we serve on board? Because I never seen you once going into our dining room. The young man then explained to the captain that he could not afford the food after paying for his fare. Then the captain told him, young man, the food comes with your fare. Everyone in the ship gets to eat all they wanted and even much more without needing to pay an extra cent. Imagine instead of eating from his brown paper bag, this young man could have feasted with everyone else in the dining room. What a picture of believers today that many are not enjoying what God has already given us in Christ. Instead of experiencing our fullness in Christ, we are still eating from our own brown paper bag and hoping we have enough to last the trip from here to eternity. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians is the dining room of God's grace. We are invited to feast on all that God has for us in Christ right now. Not someday when we are more mature or more spiritual or more advanced in our theology. Right now, you have access to the riches of God's grace and you will never have better opportunity than right now. So why wait? Just dive into the treasure trove of God's grace and take what's yours in Christ. Paul wrote this epistle when he was imprisoned in Rome waiting for his trial to appeal to Caesar. During that time, Paul wrote four letters known as the prison letters: Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon. What is the difference between an epistle and a letter? Well, a letter is written to a certain person and could be of any topic. An epistle is a conversation offered in a letter form that's meant to be read to a certain audience and has a spiritual or moral point of view. As I shared with you last week, Ephesians was a circular letter written to the believers in Asia, and it was read from church to church and finally ended up in Ephesus, and thus it was called Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. But if you look at some Bible translation, the word Ephesians or Ephesus doesn't appear, and it often been put as a footnote. And so the theory is this, that this was originally read by believers everywhere in the Asian region. And finally, it rested, so-called, in the Church of Ephesus. And in one sense, we can say that this letter was meant to be read by all churches in all places for all time. But for the purpose of our sermon series, we'll still refer this letter as Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. And it is good for us to personalize this letter in our own context. Imagine for a moment Paul was writing to us in first light. As an apostle of Jesus Christ, Paul has been sent by the Lord to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And so we can say that this letter is for us. And if we look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, let me read to you from the ESV Bible. It says that Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So here Paul calls all believers saints. And sometimes we think saints are those who have no real life issue, they walk on waters and nothing ever bothers them. But rather in the New Testament, saints are ordinary people who love Jesus in spite of the hard life they live. We don't become saints. We are made saints because Jesus did not quit on us. We are not saints due to our own righteousness, but we are made saints through the righteousness of Christ. And so here is God through Jesus Christ who gives us a perfect standing with the Father. And you and I will never become saints by our own hard work, but we are made saints already in Jesus' name. And here it is written to so-called the saints who are in Ephesus. And the word Ephesus actually means desirable, darlings, beloved. So in one sense, we are the beloveds of God. We are the darlings of God. We are the desirable of God. And here Paul calls us to be faithful. Verse 2 says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we know that grace is God's power made perfect in our weakness. So that when we are weak, we are strong. You know, sometimes as believers, we don't like to say we are weak believers. But I think in one sense, it is good to say we are weak believers, because the way we need to grow in Christ is to trust that it is through our weakness that God will give us strength. And somehow our weakness attracts God's mercy and does not repel it. So please do not despise yourself thinking you are weak believers. It's only when you know you are weak, you can call upon God's grace and God's mercy and God's kindness, and then He will make you strong. Peace is God's presence within us that empowers us to face our fears with supernatural calmness. And it's important for us to know that God so desires us to have grace in our life, to have peace in our life through the Father. I think most of us will recognize this catalog. And every week we will look at a catalog to look for specials. And everyone has different specials. Some look for meat, some look for sweet, and some will look for toilet papers. But if you look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 14, it looks like a catalog of blessing. And they are all specials. They are all yours in Christ. They are all yours right now and not only in the sweet by and by. And let me read to you the catalog of blessings from Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 14. Let me read to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believe in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. If you read this in the original Greek language, this is the longest verse in the New Testament. In fact, some scholars say it is one of the most complex in the entire New Testament. This one verse alone seems to be flowing out of the revelation from the Holy Spirit. It looks as if Paul was trying to say everything at once. And you can sense the excitement of his revelation that he received from Christ about the church. And so in one way, if you look at verses 3 to 14, you can realize that it is a long flowing statement of praise to God for the many ways he has blessed those who believe in Jesus. And so there are three things that we can learn from this text. The first is, who is the source and supply of our blessing? And if we look at verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Hallelujah! We must start our thinking with God. And often, we start with our circumstances and not with God's character. And when we just look at our circumstances, we will end up exaggerating our problems, making them bigger than the truth of God's love for us. When you keep your thinking God-centered, you will free yourself from worries, anxieties, and fears. Everything we have, according to Paul, is by God's initiative for his good pleasure. And repeatedly throughout this passage, Paul uses the expression "in Christ" or some variant of it. It happens about 9 times in verses 3 to 14 and some 36 times in the whole book of Ephesians. And here Paul is trying to tell us, he tried to communicate to us that the source and the supply of life for the believer is found in Christ, and that we need to ground our experience as believers in Christ. And this is important because when I am in Christ, I will experience the blessing of knowing God my Father and being in an intimate relationship with him. You know, if you ever buy a property, you ever ask an agent, they'll tell you the number one rule of buying a good property is location, location, location. And likewise, last week I talked about us need to locate or find our position in Christ. That we sit with Christ, we walk with Christ, and we stand with Christ. It is knowing our location, our position in Christ that changes everything about our lives in the name of the Father. And it's also helpful for us to know that this word blessing doesn't occur often in the Greek mythology. In fact, it was never used at all of the Greek gods. Their gods were not gods who blessed their people. They were gods who demanded things from their people. The Greek gods were receivers but not givers. However, the true God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is a God who blessed us. He is a God who gives. In the Old Testament alone, there are some 400 mentions of God blessing his people. And God so-called packed so much love and blessing into our lives on this side, on of heaven, that we have so much of God's goodness in us that we can't take it anymore. That's what Paul is trying to say, that God packs so much love and blessing into our lives on this side of heaven, so that we have so much of God's goodness in us that any more than that, we will be part of the Trinity. And that will make it a quartet. The truth is this, that everything heaven contained is now lavished upon you. God has given you all things to enjoy. And all things means all things. You're right. It means that we have all the great blessing of heaven. And who has been blessed with this great blessing? It's you and I. We all have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. It is as though that the heavenly realm has emptied itself into our life. God's blessing is so immense and so vast that it is like standing under a waterfall to get a drink. Most of it will go by you, but what gets in your mouth will quench your thirst and will refresh you marvelously. See, the source of your blessing is not because you have earned your keep or how wonderful you have been, but because God is a father to you. We all must learn in our journey with God to let God be a father to us. He cannot be a strange, divine stranger in our life that only once in a while we ask Him to do something in our life. But rather, God must be a father to us that we learn to know and trust Him, that we learn to be sons and daughters unto this Father because He showers us and blesses us with all things in Christ. That this is a wonderful God that we have, that He will not give you stones when you ask for bread, knowing that because Jesus died on the cross, you and I receive this spiritual blessing. It is through His death that we all have our inheritance in Christ right now. So it is so important for every one of us right now is that we ought to stop assigning God's blessing as something for us in eternity and to declare that these verses, this 12 verses is for us right here and right now. And then we truly take upon this word of God seriously, knowing that it is for us right now and it's not something parked for eternity. It will change us tremendously. We will become so blessed that we can't contain it. We become the blessing of God's love with which we are so richly blessed and be God's richest blessing to the world. We must be the kind of believer that non-believers want to be with. Like those who were far from God, who came close to Jesus because they recognized Him as one who is full of grace and truth. If we have been with Jesus, if we have been with the Lord, people around us can feel Him in us, and they will want to have what we have. And this is important for us as believers today, that if we really know who Jesus Christ is to us, somehow His existence, His essence, His very being comes out from us, that when people see us, they see Jesus Christ. And my second point is this, is that we need to look at is what is God's purpose for blessing you. And in verse 6, we know Paul tells us and gives us this revelation, to the praise of His glorious grace and favor which He so richly bestowed on us in the Beloved. See, God is so kind to us. God is very kind to us because of the Son He dearly loves, so that we can praise God. God bless you with all things good so that you become a true worshiper of God. You can see God's kindness being poured out in you, that having all this blessing should shape your belief system about God and His character. If I ask you today, can you list God's blessing in your life? Most of us will come up with something like a good home, good health, good job, good kids, good weather, and anything else that we find to be positive for our life. But when you look at Paul's blessing, Paul's list of blessing, is that it bears so little resemblance to what most of us would likely come up with. Our idea of blessing is often wishful thinking or a personal desire, and often it is something for ourselves, and most of us are not going to get it. But however, when we look at God's idea of blessing, it is already a fact. It is already ours in Christ, and all of us can have this blessing in abundance right now in Jesus' name. So most of us, our idea of blessing is always about us, but God's blessing or God's idea of blessing is always for us. And when we have wishful thinking, we hope something will happen in our life. Some of us may get it, some of us don't. But when God has this idea of blessing, it is by the power of His grace, He ensures all of us will receive it in Jesus' name, and all of us has His blessing in abundance. And God's blessing empowers us to do His will, to fulfill His purpose and plan for our lives. We often have what I call a low view of blessing. That is, we pray to God to bless us so that we can live a comfortable life. God didn't call you and I to live a comfortable life. Rather, He has called us to live a fulfilling life. And to live a fulfilling life, we must have a high view of blessing. What then is a high view of blessing? It is to see every blessing as a form of empowerment, as a form of empowerment from God. Let me read to you. Let me say to you again. What is a high view of blessing? It is to see every blessing as a form of empowerment from God. Blessing empowers us to become God's witnesses on earth. It empowers us to show love and to do loving action to and for others. To return blessing for blessing. To release blessing over your family and your friends and people around you. See, we have been blessed to be a blessing to people. And so here is what God wants to do in our life. When He blesses us, He is actually empowering us. You know, a few days ago, Ned was saying to me that this must be the worst year in the 21st century. And if that's true, then the blessing phenomena will be the best thing that happened in this very bad year. I think many of us must have watched this from YouTube or received someone getting us to watch it. And I'm sure that many of us have been blessed because the blessing phenomena has brought comfort to millions and unity to the church, especially for such a time when we really need it. On March 6, 2020, the blessing was first released as a live music video on YouTube by Elevation Music. And that song was an instant hit among Christians everywhere. Within weeks, numerous cover versions has been uploaded by groups in various countries and various languages. So what makes the blessing different? Because in these dark days of quarantines and race riots, people are desperate for good news, and the blessing delivers big time. As the world wrestles with the curse of COVID, the blessing reveals God's heart to bless His children. And this song declares that God is for you and with you. Consider the words here. May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations. Your family and your children and their children and their children. May His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you. Hallelujah. The third thing that we need to understand is what kinds of blessings have God bestowed on you. God doesn't give us just one kind of blessing. He gives us all kinds of blessings. And if you look at the next 12 verses, you will discover 12 blessings. And let me quickly just share with you. Here, we had this revelation from Paul. I'm chosen, I'm holy and blameless, I'm loved, I'm adopted, I'm accepted, I'm redeemed. Then he goes on saying, I'm forgiven, I'm rich beyond measure, I'm free, I am an heir, I am approved, and I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. This blessing reveals your position in Christ. In giving you this blessing in Christ, God will never see you apart from Christ. By wrapping you in Christ, God wants you to know that He will never love you less than He loved Jesus Christ. And He will never treat you as second class because He has given you a first class seat together with Christ. And something we need to understand in a Christian life is the difference between position and condition. Our position in Christ is eternal. It is ours forever. It is ours for all times. The truth is that we don't often live up to our position in Christ. Our condition goes up and down like a yo-yo. Sometimes our Christian life is like 3 steps forward and 2 steps back. And we love God with all our heart one day, and the next day we don't want to talk about it. Isn't it true for some of us that we know that our position in Christ is for all eternity, but our condition, how we live it up, sometimes goes up and down like a yo-yo. But when we allow God to work on our condition through the revelation of our position in Christ, we will begin to see ourselves in a different light. As Christ is, so am I in this world. You don't need to struggle to get God's attention to change you. This is because right now, you have a jet engine of God's grace inside your Volkswagen body. The work of the Holy Spirit in our life is to bring our condition into a whole new position. And so every blessing that you have in Christ is to transform you into a different person. The question is, how different are we to become? Look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11 to 13. Let me read to you. Through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as his own inheritance. Before we were even born, He gave us our destiny that we will fulfill the plan of God who always accomplishes every purpose and plan in His heart. For God purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to long for the messianic hope, would be the first to believe in the Anointed One and bring great praise and glory to God. And because of Him, when you, who are not Jews, heard the revelation of truth, you believe in the wonderful news of salvation. In this letter of Paul, he talks about how God brought the Jews and the Gentiles together to become one new body in Christ. And this is very good news, especially in such a time that we're living right now. The racial and cultural wars reveals a sin-sick heart of discriminating pride and prejudice. And only the gospel, the good news of God's salvation, can bring healing and restore our sight to go beyond race, class, and gender to see the uniqueness of each person created in the image and the likeness of God. If you really hold on to the revelation of Ephesians chapter 1 to 13, you cannot be a racist or be prejudiced and still be a child of God. You may not be a racist today, but that does not mean you cannot become one tomorrow. That's why all of us need to keep our hearts open for God's love to work in us and through us to genuinely love people who are different from us. And at this time, I need to admit to you, I myself was a racist against a certain group of people. Until I begin to realize the length we love people will be the distance of our ministry. Let me repeat it to you one more time. The length we love people will be the distance of our ministry. The extent of our love for people will define the expense of our ministry to them. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. If God was against the world, He would not have given His most precious possession. Looking at the life of Paul, we all know that he often boasts that he was the Pharisee of Pharisees as far as he was concerned. And as a Pharisee, he has nothing to do with the Gentiles until God has to adjust his eyesight to see people through the lens of God's grace and the lens of God's love. And this is a challenge for us in First Light. If we truly want to impact lives in our community, if we want to impact life out of our community, if we really want to be a church to be a blessing to other people, then we need God to help us. While not accusing anyone for being a racist, but if you do have a racist heart in your chest or a racist bone in your body, ask God to heal you right now in Jesus' name. The extent of your love for others will define the expense of your ministry. And it's important for us to bear this in mind, that the length we love people will be the distance of our ministry. And so it's important for us to ask God to help us. And especially that we need to ask God to help us to identify a specific blessing that speaks to us right now. Perhaps there's an area in your life right now that there is some hard stuff that you're going through. Can you identify a specific blessing that can empower you to be strengthened in your spirit, soul, and body? For example, if you are suffering from low self-esteem, knowing that you are chosen by God will change how you feel about your worth and how you live your life. You know, we need to feel blessed every day. We need to have this revelation of how blessed we are in Christ. As I said before, to be blessed is not living a comfortable life, but to be blessed is to live a fulfilling life. Don't delay that sense of happiness. The happiness is going to happen to me next Tuesday. Happiness is going to happen to me after I accomplish something in my life. Happiness is going to be there if I become a person of success. But rather, happiness begins today, and happiness begins in the Lord. And it is good to every time before you sleep is to just reflect what happened today and look at those moments in your day. Even today may not work out right for you, but just look at those moments where you can see God's hand in your life and you can say, wow, God did bless me today. And this is so helpful for us, because years ago I was journeying with a lady who was always suffering from depressive thoughts, And it never seems to help her to overcome her situation, in spite of all kinds of medication and counseling that she was receiving. And so I was sharing with her that perhaps she needs to keep a blessing notebook, is to jot down the blessing she received each day and to praise God that he is blessing her. And of course, this lady began to keep a journal. And every day, he began to have that awareness of how God has blessed her. And every day, as she had this awareness of how much God has been blessing her, she started writing this blessing notebook. And she began to realize that what she carries in her heart, she's carrying the Lord Jesus Christ herself. She no longer need to carry the grudges. She no longer need to carry the angry feeling. She no longer need to carry her own sense of unworthiness. But the more she know how blessed she is in Christ, the more she got transformed by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is what you and I need right now in this season of our life. Look at your life right now. Is there any areas in your life that you need God to pull you out of the darkness into His wonderful light? Is there an area of your life right now that there is some hard stuff you are going through that can you identify a specific blessing from verses 3 to 14 and say that it is mine in Christ, that I'm chosen, therefore I no longer need to feel unworthy because I'm being blessed and I'm made holy and blameless. I know I can walk victoriously and live victoriously in Jesus' name. So church, may God continue to bless you and strengthen you. May God continue to encourage you. And so I just want to remind you, read through Ephesians once a week and you will be blessed to your socks, that your life will never be the same again. In Jesus' name we pray, Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.